Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 749. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we got Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Good morning. Happy Easter. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, man. For Fool's Day, happy Easter. How's been going with you, man? How's everything, man?
I'm trying to avoid the internet right now because can't trust anything because it's April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. So I've already seen some sketchy stuff, like what is it, Nintendo doing Mushroom Kingdom Battle Royale, like their fort, okay. Like their quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, is their Fortnite mashup, which obviously, I mean, if you look at the link, you look at the article, it says it was published in February, but if you go through the whole like article, there's like a whole bunch of like tells that it's fake, right? Like it's 4K, 120 frames per second.
I hate those.
You know, so you know, there's some interesting things out there. So guys, it's April, you know, guys and gals, it's April 1st. It's April Fools. Watch what you see on the internet, because 95% chance that it's fake.
You know what? They're the all time April Fools joke that I even believed it was way back early 2000s with the Zelda movie trailer. That they were making a movie that IGN posted. Yo, I thought that was real. I was like, well, oh my God. I fell for it.
If I recall that one, there was production value in that at the same time, right? Because they did a whole video trailer with a whole treatment. And so it looked like a legit trailer. So people were like, all right, but it's April Fool's, but it looks legit. Like, why would they put all this time, effort, and money and resources towards putting out something like this? And it was like one of the greatest April Fool's gags of all time.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Legit.
Yeah, shout out to Paris. He's not going to be joining us this week, but he will join us pretty soon. So shout out to Paris, man. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. You could also find us on audioboom.com and listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share with your content. The thing that I love about the new Audio Boom website that we have is very mobile friendly, Pete. Like, it doesn't matter if you have an app or not, you could go straight to the website, and the player, the audio player is very easy to use and everything, man. Using your phone, it's super extremely easy. So I love it. But if not, another easy way for you guys to listen to our podcast is go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and yes, we also, you can find us also on Google Play. Subscribe and follow us for sure, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Breaking news here. This is the ultimate breaking news for GTR. I'm pretty excited about this. So I just got this email this morning, and no, this is not an April Fool's joke, all right? I got this 4 hours ago. All right. It says, your film has been accepted into the monthly edition of Miami Independent Film Festival. Yes, indeed. Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, has been accepted for the first film festival for us, man.
That's awesome. Dope. Congratulations, dude.
So what's going to happen is, by the end of this month, April 27th, if we win, because right now this is an online film festival, if we win, then we're going to compete for a real film festival that's going to happen here later this year in Miami, Florida. So wish us luck. I don't know what's going to happen next. There's going to be a couple people that are going to be judging it and watching it, and they're going to decide if this is the best documentary film for this month. So I hope it works. I hope we win. Yeah, but hey, I just submitted. I was not expecting, you know, anything big. I was like, yeah, let's see what happens. But that's good. I'm very happy about that, man. So, Pete, you want to say anything before?
That's huge. Yeah. It goes to show that, you know, and it's one of the things that you wanted to get across was it doesn't matter the hardware or what you use to put it together. It's your content, right? And it's something mm-hmm. that you've always tried to stout, like whenever you're talking about, you know, your experiences or your games, it doesn't matter what piece of hardware or tech you're on, as long as your content itself is solid, you'll do well. Yep. So this is, you know, having you doing this entirely on a MacBook Pro laptop.
PowerBook,
yeah. Wait, was it a PowerBook or no? It was a MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
They don't make PowerBooks anymore. Yeah. Yeah, We retired that old white thing, dude.
That was my old laptop.
Yeah, that was the white one, dude. That was the white one. Yeah. No, but you know, you being able to do that all on a MacBook Pro using iMovie, you know, goes to show. It's proof in the pudding for exactly what you've always been, you know, what you've always been saying. You know, make sure that your content is better. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do, whether it's creating a video game, whether it's you're playing a video game, whether you're recording a podcast, like the way we started it all, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as your content is good, the accolades and the community will follow.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? Another thing too that, I mean, we're going to talk about this, so it kind of relates to our conversation, is that, you know, us as content creators, it's good to expand ourselves and test the waters out and see if we could get an other audience to watch us on Twitch or especially listen to our podcast. Because I feel like once we create our content, we're only showing that content to our community and that's it. But it's like in hip hop, Pete, in order for the music and the culture to grow, you have to test the waters and get new audience, a new crowd of people that have never listened to the music, right?
Yep.
So that's the thing that I'm trying to do is, yeah, we got accepted to this film festival and other festivals that hopefully that go through later this year. I want to get an audience that doesn't know anything about podcasting, doesn't know anything about video games. And the every time I speak, I'm always speaking to those type of people. You know, now that the awards is coming up in a couple of weeks in Miami, the Tech Awards by Hispanicize, the majority of their audience doesn't listen to podcasts, doesn't listen to video games. And it's good to get those type of people, man. Like it's good to do that and expand, because if we're only just depending on the gamer, how are we going to grow as an industry, not just ourselves, but as an industry overall, man. You know, that's why companies are always coming up with new ideas and new things, because they want that audience to also buy that game or buy that console, that product, because that's how it's going to help our industry by doing those type of things, man. So that's why I've been really thinking about it, like about promoting our content to like a new crowd, man. You know, and I think we've been talking to a couple of PR folks that, you know, behind the scenes, you know, when we go to events and stuff, we talk to them. And that's what they tell us, man. They said the same thing, that the thing that they like about our content is that we attract an audience that the major sites, they don't attract them at all. Those audience will not go to, like, let's say those major media outlets or major YouTube channels, or
right,
because I think that audience feel comfortable to listen to our content. You know what I'm trying to say? And they're not a hardcore audience. They're just casual gamer, you know, or maybe they just started gaming, you know? So, I think it's important to do that. I think it's super, super important.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and it relates to the conversation we're going to come up with now, Pete. I know there was an issue a couple of weeks ago or so. Kevin, what's his last name? Kevin
Pereira.
With him, I know they launched a Twitch channel a couple of weeks ago. I mean, a while ago, but this controversy just happened recently. Him and his team started buying bots for viewers. So let's say they will go live on Twitch. They will have a bunch of fake bots viewing their channel, and you see the numbers increasing. So it could look good, you know, instead of them building a community like how we're doing it and other Twitch streamers been doing it without buying bots.
Yep.
It's kind of, it's kind of disappointing because I wonder why would they waste their money and time buying view bots? I just don't get it. You know, they have an audience. It's just because they don't want to look bad once they launch this Twitch channel and let's say the average person goes to their channel and they see like, wow, they don't have a lot of views. Like, in a way, it bothers me because there's a lot of Twitch streamers that they bust their working so hard. They're not getting that attention. You know, and I feel like us, we should support those type of content creators, man. Not only on Twitch, but also podcasts and all that. Like, just support them, you know. But here's a person that they have a lot of money buying view bots, which also it's you're not allowed to do that on Twitch. If Twitch finds out, you could actually get banned from that.
Absolutely. You know? So they
shut down the website because they were about to get banned because a lot of people, I think on Reddit and a couple of sites, they found out about that. And they deleted the channel right before they were going to get banned. So, yeah, go for it, Pete.
So, I just want to clarify some stuff here first. Some housekeeping on this thing.
Yes.
First and foremost, it was the attack on Twitch. It's, you know, it was his personal show. Part of the whole group of shows that Kevin Pereira, pretty much started after he left Attack of the Show on G4. The channel was down to something like 300 total viewers a week in comparison to where it was in the past. And I don't want to sound like I'm trying to apologize or try to defend what Kevin did. I think what he did is still not right. It's still a lot of the factors and details are still trying to come out. But according to him, he said that the reason that he decided to get ViewBots for his show, which for those that are listening and aren't aware, ViewBots are essentially robots. It's essentially a farm of computers that for money you can pay and they'll all go to your channel to simulate or emulate views on your channel to make it seem like it's doing bigger or better than it actually is. Unfortunately, it's part of the business. It's not something that us here at Gamertag Radio condone or approve of. But it is something that people do in an effort to try to make their show bigger, better than what it actually is. Not to sound like an indictment on the attack by Kevin Pereira, but it is something that is done, and it's for the most part it's frowned upon in the industry. That being said, according to Kevin, he said that because he's got so many people on payroll, that this show was losing money. And in order to maintain the appearance of a successful show on Twitch, he made the decision to go ahead and pay for ViewBots to make his show appear bigger and better. Now, the reason someone like that would do something, like get a ViewBot for their show, to attract more advertisers, to raise up more revenue, to be able to make payroll, to be able to pay for the people that you have on your staff. And, like you said, he got outed thanks to Reddit and a couple of other people. And as a result, he took the show down. He took the channel down, knowing that as soon as this got into the mainstream, Twitch was going to automatically ban it because it is a bannable offense. But according to the Twitch bylaws, when you become a channel on there, he understands the severity of what he did, and which is why one of the reasons why he did it, how long it's going to remain banned or whether he's actually going to try and resurrect the channel is up in the air. But I think his status in the industry has now been tarnished to the point that I don't know if Kevin Pereira would be welcome at an event, whether his integrity is now in question. Would people go to Kevin Pereira because they're like, oh, now we want to talk to Kevin Pereira and get his feedback on X? It is, I guess that's the biggest question now is, will he be welcomed back into, or will he be welcomed in the industry in the same manner as he was in the past, right? And so it's going to be touch and go now, I think, for him and the rest of the properties that he owns in the gaming industry. So we'll see.
And see, this is where I also need to talk about this because, you know, this has been going on for a very long time, not only on Twitch, but also YouTube, also podcasts. That's been happening where a lot of the, let's say a lot of podcasts have been getting a lot of fake downloads because of bots. Also, reviews. That's why I'm kind of, like, I love when people post reviews on our iTunes page, Apple Podcast page, but there's also fake reviews where people will buy fake reviews and tell them, okay, go to my iTunes or Apple Podcast page and review it. Review our podcast or something like that. Or let's say Amazon, Pete, you've seen a lot of fake reviews too on Amazon. They will hire an agency to also post those fake reviews for that product so it could look good. Like, oh man, a lot of people buying this and so on. So that's why it kind of sucks because it hurts. It will hurt us, the industry, by people doing this. That's not good, man. It's not going to help us. But that's the thing. A lot of the content creators, when they do those type of things, they only cares about the numbers, like how many follows they have on Twitter, how many reviews they have. It's just like, no, think about getting the listeners to listen to download your content and then worry about the download numbers later on if you want. But start off like with that, build your community instead of forcing people like, oh, look, it's getting a million reviews, but it's all fake. It just doesn't look good, man. You know, so yeah, just want to say that. But speaking about Twitch, Pete, I know there was also layoffs recently. I don't know the whole situation, but you probably know more about this than me. What happened at Twitch that there was also layoffs? Because, you know, Twitch is a company that's been very successful for a long time.
Oh, yeah. You know, Twitch, obviously, for those that are actually watching the show with us this morning, mm-hmm. Twitch has grown by leaps and bounds since its infancy when you and I, you know, first started talking about it. We're talking back in the days when it was known as Justin.tv.
Yep.
And that was even back then, the concept of video streaming was still very infantile and amateurish, and people weren't really used to it. So it was kind of like, will that blow up? Unbeknownst to everybody, that thing blew up like Nitro. It was crazy. And then mm-hmm. just a few years ago, when Amazon bought them for a crazy amount of dollars, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's grown to become one of the biggest forms of entertainment on the internet today. I mean, me and my son were watching League of Legends semifinals last night on the TV in the living room while eating dinner. I mean, that's how huge it is, right? People can just mm-hmm. – I probably spend more time now on Twitch watching streamers and Let's Plays and stuff like that than I do watching regular TV or movies, which goes to show, you know just how big video on demand and live streams are in general. As unfortunately, I think it's around 300 to 400 people were laid off on Friday.
How many?
400.
Really? I heard it was less than that.
No, I'm going by a number count here on the Polygon website.
Polygon. Okay.
Yeah.
And so maybe it was just a group of, probably the ones that I heard was like a team from a certain section, like a different department that it was like, I heard it was like 30 or 40 around
Hold
that.
Hold on, I'm around. I let me reread this then.
Yeah, yeah. But so, maybe I'm wrong. Okay, that's a lot of people, man. If it's like that, because the rumor is they either overhired or they're trying to change it up because there was probably a lot of people that were there even before it was Twitch. That was during like Justin.tv days, probably. I might be wrong, but
so according to this, they said that they wanted to reduce headcount by 30%, right? Over the next 8 months, Twitch, the company, didn't want to publicize the number, but report estimates says it's around the 400. Another source said it was closer to 1500. This past Friday, more than 25 people were let go. So we're talking,
All right.
The plan is to release somewhere between 300 to 400 and maybe even more over the next 8 months. This past Friday, it was about 30 people.
Wow, that sucks.
You know, and we're talking about people like former COO, or I'm sorry, as a reason, you know, they've hired some people over the last couple of months, including the former COO at Pandora, who is now the CEO at Twitch. They've also hired a former Slack vice president of developer relationships. He's now within Twitch, but we're talking people like Fishsticks, who left the company, Justin Wong, who is very well known in the industry.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I know.
You know, Jay Wong, he's a competitive, I think it's Smash Brothers, Street Fighter. So that's, it happens in the industry, right? You start to get huge, you know, you start to get large, and then companies are like, okay, how do we maintain the same amount of performance while reducing overhead, which means you got to start, you know, you got to start dropping people from the payroll. Unfortunately, you know, people like Justin, who were there since its inception, you know, he's gone now, you know, 6 years later, he's no longer part of the company that, you know, he was there from an early on perspective as a community member. And then please don't get the connotation. I'm pretty certain its original name of Justin.tv didn't come from Justin Wong being on there.
No,
he was actually part of the community way, way, way in its infancy, and was an opportunity. You know, he was actually hired on at a later date to become an employee for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how well this transition becomes, going from a small company exploding, and now it's starting to get into its, now it's going to start potentially plateauing, because now it's an established organization. And now here's where, can it continue its cycle of success? Will it be because of the people that they let go because they were potentially too top heavy, or will this become a downward trend as a result because they've let go of too many key people? So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens as a result of these layoffs.
Yeah. Welcome to corporate America. Yep. It happens all the time.
Yep.
It happens all the time, man. All right. So let's go with another topic. This is an interesting one. You know, I've been playing now Far Cry for a couple of weeks now. There's a rumor. Don't know if this is true or not, but the community is trying to figure out if this is true or not. A lot of the gamers that have been playing Far Cry 5 are now trying to find Bigfoot in Far Cry 5. Bigfoot. And the reason why people are trying to look for him is because there's different maps in the game. Like, let's say you go to like a cabin or something. You check out a map. Maybe somebody's been hunting and so on. There's clues all over the game of Bigfoot. Also, if you go to the Far Cry 5 arcade, there's also Bigfoot images and stuff that you could also, in the map editor, that you could add them in there and so on. So what are the chances, Pete, of Bigfoot in the game? Do you think it is official, or do you think this is just people coming up with like a theory that's in there, or what? I personally think, based on the stuff that I've been reading, I think Bigfoot is in the game. Now, to find is going to be hard, but go ahead. What are your thoughts about this one?
In my personal opinion, I think what we're going to see are limited time opportunities for something like Bigfoot to pop up. The reason I say that is because live events starts to go online next week, or by the time the show airs, it will, I think it's live at that point, right? I think it's Monday or Tuesday.
It's the 5th. I think it's the 5th, isn't it? April 5th? I think that's the first one. I'm not 100%.
I don't have an exact date. I'll have to look for it. But live events kick off next week, right? Being said, and I think that was from last Friday, that article that I read. So that means this week coming up, starting April 2nd or something, or somewhere around that time, live events start to come out for Far Cry 5, which is a perfect opportunity for them to say, okay, this week's live event for the next 2 weeks, this live event is going to be Find Bigfoot. We've dropped enough clues. Now it's your turn to go find them. Perfect opportunity for you to jump co-op with friends. Now, the one thing that I would love which I don't think is going to happen, cross-platform. This is a perfect opportunity to take advantage of cross-platform play and say, okay, let's group up large scores of people, regardless of platform, and go on these massive hunts for a Bigfoot. Yet, you know, let's go Yeti hunting. And, you know, you just a whole bunch of people on trucks and ATVs and helicopters doing mass coordinated searches through the map to go find Bigfoot. Go to the big lakes, find the Loch Ness monster or something similar, you know, and it doesn't just have to be one of those. I mean, hell, it could be the Chupacabra, you know, make it Hispanic.
Chupacabra.
Let's find the Chupacabra in the middle of Hope County. I mean, who can, you get what I'm saying though, right? Like there's so much more opportunity for them to do something. And I think this is a great stepping stone for Ubisoft.
I think this is awesome. I don't know. I love the whole theories and all that stuff. I love that, man. So yeah, if you had a chance to find Bigfoot, maybe now or maybe when they start adding live events, please let us know. Hit us up. And also, I'm looking for content creators, man. Map, like let's say you create your own map play, game or something, game mode in Far Cry 5 Arcade. Send it to us. Let us know. We'll play it. We'll talk about it. We'll review it. I'm down to review it. You guys, the listener, need to create something cool. You guys need to create something cool. Maybe GTR related. Maybe it could be a Let Me Dream map. I don't know. Just let us know. I'll try. We'll talk about it here on the podcast. All right, so we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, Pete, I know you have some content that you recorded with your son that's coming out on this podcast. So let us know a little bit about it, and then we'll take a short break. Go for it.
Yeah, so my son and I are going to be going down to Miami next weekend. We've been in talks with Riot with regards to covering League of Legends esports events. And this coming weekend, we have the spring 2018 LCS finals, right? So this coming weekend, you know, my son's going to be, he's the resident expert. So he's been on the show in the past to give us a review. And we're going to give him an opportunity to go in, get the full treatment, and have an opportunity to go check out the spring finals. This is actually the finals. We're going, these are the matches for first, second, third, and fourth place for the spring right before they go into summer splits. So, you know, he's going to have a chance, you know, we're going to be recording a quick stint about what's going to be, you know, who are we going to see in the spring finals next weekend. And then once we're there next weekend, you know, he's going to get an awesome opportunity to check out the entire finals and then report back on everything and provide some interviews and other great content for the show.
Yeah. It's going to be fun because I'm going to be there also with Pete, and we're going to be outside red carpet, just interviewing people and stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's our first time covering this event. So it's going to be super cool, I think.
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity for us to explore other avenues of the gaming industry. I know Danny's been, definitely. I know you've been covering like the Call of Duty World Championships the last 2 years.
And also the regular season
too. Right, the regular season stuff. But this just adds to the amount, you know, the quality content that we provide to our community and our listeners, you know, because I'm pretty sure there's people that, and I've seen it on occasion in the Discord server. People want to, you know, people have been asking, well, what about League of Legends? Does anybody play League of Legends? And this is a great chance for us to provide content for that chunk of the audience that we may not be tapping, right? So I'm sure that there's people in the community that, or people that listen to the show, they're like, oh man, I wish they would talk about League of Legends and stuff like that. This is perfect for you guys. So hopefully you guys enjoy it.
All right, so we're gonna take a short break, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Peter here with Gamertag Radio, here with a special event coverage for League of Legends Spring LCS Finals. We're going to do a little something different than what is expected. I'm actually bringing on my son, who is the resident expert for League of Legends esports stuff. He's actually done some stuff with his friends, over at the University of Florida. Figured it'd be a great opportunity for us to introduce some new experiences to our listeners. So here we go. First and foremost, what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about the history of the teams that's going to be at Miami in the Fillmore for finals. We're going to be looking at the semifinals that just happened this weekend, and we're going to be looking forward to the finals of next weekend.
All right, cool. So first and foremost, let's go over the teams that played this past weekend. Give me a quick rundown on the teams, you know, best player, MVP, coach, any other things you think is important.
Okay, so starting with Echo Fox, founded by Rick Fox from NBA. Basically, really good this season. First half of the split, first 5 weeks of playing, really good team, really dominant team, having to play through their top laner, Huni, who comes from SKT, the best team arguably in the world for League of Legends. Really dominant in the first half. Second half of the split, not super dominant, very much a slumping, and kind of just flopped at the end here in semifinals. So they're going to be playing for a third and fourth. They're going to be playing against Clutch Gaming, who actually just lost against 100 Thieves. Clutch Gaming, the franchise team for the Houston Rockets, kind of a passive team, doesn't do very much, and plays very much towards a later style of the game, very much wanting to play through their bot lane and just waiting for the enemy to make a whole lot of mistakes. Not a very good team, but obviously they're here in finals, so they did something right. Going on to 100 Thieves, they will be playing for first place against Team Liquid. They're a franchise team of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and founded by Nadeshot, formerly of Optic fame from the Call of Duty days. Very good team, underdogs, lots of veterans in there, and just a somewhat of an underdog, and not really someone that you thought at the beginning of the season, at least, were going to make it here in first place. Team Liquid, very old team in the LCS, basically been here since the start as Team Curse, then now they're Team Liquid, basically big bucks, the big ballers of the LCS, $1 million contract for their top laner Impact. Looking forward to see how Doublelift and Ole play through the ball lane.
All right. So this past weekend, obviously, you know, you and I, we were watching some of the finals. Obviously, you're doing your thing with your friends, but we caught some of the stuff up on the main TV in the living room. Give me a quick rundown on what we saw on the Team Liquid versus Echo Fox semifinals yesterday.
So the semifinals, quarterfinals, finals are all being played in best of fives. This whole season has been best of one, so whoever just won the match won the whole series there. But best of five is looking forward to first to get to three wins. For the Team Liquid versus Echo Fox, it was a 3-1 in favor of Team Liquid. Super dominant. They were able to basically just blast Echo Fox out of the game. Echo Fox, of course, they've been slumping in this last half, and this game and this series was definitely not a surprise. Team Liquid just super strong. Even though they flopped in one game, they kind of slipped. They were able to bring it back and play really, really cleanly for today.
So I was watching part of that game yesterday, and it looked to me, right, like initially, and I guess maybe it was just the match that I saw, but Echo Fox seems to kind of have the game to be able to be successful, even against a team like Team Liquid. What was it that you saw that they did perhaps wrong or incorrect that maybe tipped the hand in the favor of Team Liquid?
Well, I think Team Liquid just, again, has a stronger bot lane. Echo Fox, their veteran player of Huni, who's been on SKT, he's just super strong. He's probably able to keep it up, especially with Dardock in the jungle. The duo between them two, they're just super strong. And because of just how they all play, they're able to sometimes keep an advantage in a game that maybe they don't deserve to be winning. But Team Liquid, their bot lane, Doublelift and Ole, just super, super strong. And Echo Fox's bot lane has been the point of question for the most of the last half of the split. Altec and Adrian, not super strong, basically getting carried through most of their games, especially in the first half, even those that they won. I just think that Team Liquid's bot lane is just super strong, and in general, their team play is just a lot cleaner than Echo Fox, so they were able to duke it out and finally get over a 3-1 win.
All right, so we're going to move over to the game that we saw today, or the split that we saw today, the semifinals of 100 Thieves versus Clutch Gaming.
Really long series. There were basically 30-minute games for the most part. It was 2-2, and we finally got to the last game, which is a 70-minute game. Very much a back and forth game, not really doing much and waiting for other teams to make a mistake. In the end, 100 Thieves were able to win. Clutch Gaming, again, just something that's been plaguing them throughout the season has been passivity, something that they do just haven't figured out how to get over. They just don't know how to go on and jump on an enemy's mistakes. 100 Thieves, though, they've been playing through their AD carry, Cody Sun, somewhat of a rookie, but able to finally overcome making some really bad mistakes at Worlds last season in China. Just 100 Thieves, super strong game, really strong series from them, and really happy to see that they're going to keep going forward. They actually have the coach of the split, which is Prawly, so glad that Prawly was able to get that.
Well, we were watching the game, or we were watching the match, and Cody Sun was super dominant. What was it that he was doing, essentially, that pretty much carried, for better sake of the, better use of the term, what was it that he did to carry 100 Thieves to the victory?
Well, at least in that last game, there's five players on each team, and four of Cody Sun's teammates were all playing tanks, so they're not going to be doing any damage, and they're just going to have a whole lot of health. He also is playing a better champion than Apollo, who's Clutch Gaming's AD carry. Clutch Gaming, they had a lot of champions that could have done a lot of burst damage, so a lot of damage that happens really quickly, but not a lot of sustained damage that would have maybe gone them through a couple of fights. And Clutch Gaming, although they had a lot of damage dealers, they had three, it was just not enough to deal with, the massive tank wall that 100 Thieves put up, and they kind of just were lit on protection duty, at least for 100 Thieves. They were just like, all right, Cody Sun, we're going to just form a huge wall, and nothing gets past it, and you just basically get to do damage through all of it.
All right, so obviously we've got, 100 Thieves going into next weekend's number one match against Team Liquid. Before we get to that, what was your favorite moment of this past weekend's semifinals?
It'd probably have to be Team Liquid versus Echo Fox, at least, if not for 100 Thieves today. I think Team Liquid, especially in the last match where Doublelift got a quadra kill against the enemy team on Ashe, someone that's not particularly too dominant in the scene and something that's not necessarily played too often, I think I was super hype. Doublelift in general is just a super interesting and super hype player. He's talks a lot online on Twitter, and he just makes the games a lot more interesting to watch because no one wants to watch a game where everyone's like, all right, well, I respect all my teammates there, all the enemy teams, like whatever. But Doublelift just makes every game like super hype because he's like, well, I can hear them shaking in their boots. Like they're just everyone's garbage. No one deserves to get this other than me. I deserve MVP.
All right, so we're going to go into the finals coverage for next week. What can we expect to see in the finals?
At least for the third and fourth game, I'm looking for a very explosive game from Echo Fox. Although they haven't been doing it very often, they have such a good early game that I'm hoping that Clutch Gaming probably isn't going to be able to keep up with just how much of a late game team they are. I'm looking forward to seeing how Echo Fox finally gets past their issues of just kind of like falling apart, especially in the bot lane. For the finals match, which will be Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves, I'm looking forward to seeing how 100 Thieves bot lane matches up with the pure dominance coming out of Team Liquid's bot lane. Doublelift and Ole from Team Liquid versus Cody Sun and Aphromoo from 100 Thieves. I want to see just how much they can show, how 100 Thieves can show maybe the new blood rising up against people who are predominantly considered the favorites.
All right, so what's the matchup to look for between these characters and why?
Well, in the Echo Fox versus Clutch Gaming, Echo Fox versus Clutch Gaming, I want to say that the bot lane matchup, again, is going to be the point of contention. Altec and Adrian from Echo Fox have been slumping, and they're not looking too good, especially since after the nerf to one of his favorite champions, he's just been slacking Altec at least. Clutch Gaming, AD carry and support, Apollo and Hakuo, they've been doing very well, although Apollo isn't necessarily the type of person to want to carry the game. He's much more of a passive AD carry. He's someone that's not going to help. He's not going to lose you the game, but he's not going to necessarily win you the game. So I want to see what happens down there. And Echo Fox with their top laner, Huni, a super good carry player. He just applies so much pressure that he basically causes everyone to have to go top lane. So I want to see what he does up there and how they're going to be able to play around him. For the Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves matchup, I want to see exactly how they're going to play around the bot lane, but I think the top lane between Impact from Team Liquid and Someday is going to be really interesting. Impact has actually stepped up recently. Before, he was kind of slacking, kind of not the best player on the team, but he's been stepping up really good, and his impact on the game has been really, really good, even though he's been only playing tank champions, basically. At least for prediction-wise, Echo Fox versus Clutch Gaming, I'm looking at least for a 3-1 in the favor of Clutch Gaming. I really want Echo Fox to win, but Clutch Gaming has been looking really, really strong in the late game. And for Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves, I'm really hoping for a 100 Thieves win, but I'm giving it 3-2 to Team Liquid.
All right, there you go. League of Legends, LCS coverage, Spring Split Finals in Miami, Florida. Dimitri and I will be there with Danny. Dimitri will actually be on the floor, actually watching it live. Danny and I will be outside eating croquetas and drinking beer. But that's okay. You're going to get all the coverage you expect here on Gamertag Radio. Also looking forward to possibly getting some interviews with some of the players and or coaches, and maybe some Riot people. So if you're interested in more League of Legends coverage, stay tuned to Gamertag Radio. We're going to have a lot more coverage coming up in the next coming weeks surrounding League of Legends Spring Finals in Miami, Florida. So for Dimitri, this is Peter signing out. Take it easy.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, episode 749, and guess what? Guess what? We have Paris joining us now. Paris, for the second half of the show, what's going on, man?
Hey, if you're watching this live, you probably see my bloodshot eyes, because I was at a wedding last night, so sorry that I'm late, but I had fun. I had a good adult fun last night.
It's all good, man. By the way, I watched Ready Player One yesterday.
No spoilers, goddammit.
How was that?
No spoilers.
How was it?
It's, yo, look, I haven't read the book, so I know people are always going to compare the book. Screw that. I haven't read the book, but man, it is really good.
Oh, we know you don't read.
I enjoyed it. You're either. But honestly, dude, like it's so good. Let me tell you, there is a couple Easter eggs. I'm not going to say it, but there's one particular that, yo, if you don't look like behind the background and stuff, you will never even notice that. And I mentioned it to my fiance, and she's like, really? I go, look, right there. And the clip went to something else, and then she missed it. But that's a movie that you have to see a couple of times to find all these Easter eggs and stuff, man. So it's good. Highly recommend it, man. Doesn't matter if you're a gamer or not. It's freaking good. Love it. So you should take your kids, man.
Don't tell me what to do, because I have no interest
in
it.
No, I'm telling you right now, take your kids. But it's good. Highly recommend it. Before we go, Paris, breaking news. I mean, I don't know how long you're going to last with this, but you know, you just bought an Xbox One X.
Why are you putting my business on the podcast?
Because you already put it out on Twitter.
You put it on Twitter. It's public.
That is public. My place to announce what I'm doing, not you. So it's like we were saying on the podcast last week when we got that email. I think it was Sunny from Oregon was asking about getting one. And I was like, yo, follow Fat Kid Deals. I've been seeing crazy deals all week. And sure enough, I saw where basically, because what's happening is there's these sellers on eBay, these trusted sellers on eBay, and eBay right now is having the spring sales with these coupon codes. And there was like a 20% off coupon code. So it was the seller on eBay selling a brand new Xbox One X for basically like $100 off or whatever it was, but then put on that 20% coupon code with free shipping, $340 out the door. I was like, you know what?
It's under the 350.
It's going to be hard to see it be this cheap again anytime soon, probably the rest of this year. So I was like, you know what? I'll just get it. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do with it, but I just got it. I got it. I have it. I own it. And because it's, you know, they did super slow shipping. So I probably won't get it until next week.
Cool. So what games are you playing to get for the console?
I mean,
I know you already have a couple ready, like recorded under your account.
Well, that's what I mean.
Are you getting any games?
I mean, I'm not planning to run out and get anything, but the fact that I already have a bunch of digital stuff, what's going to wind up happening is Trey is going to wind up using it for Fortnite. I already was thinking about that. That's what's going to happen, because he's going to be able to play with his buddies on Fortnite.
Cool. That's good.
And you'll be able to play with them because it's cross-platform on PC.
Yeah. The only bad thing, I shouldn't say bad thing, but the only thing is I'm going to have to buy Xbox Live Gold if that happens. But but yeah, I have the whole back catalog of games and stuff I can play on there as well. And then obviously, you know, play anywhere on my PC. So it opens it up on what I want to do. I know I'm going to hate that dashboard. I already know it, but whatever.
Well, if it's not you using it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Paris, but I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think Artek mentioned this, that now you can mute that out.
Yeah.
The sound effects. I haven't tried it out, so I don't know how legit that is, but we'll see. Because I know they did change the sound. Now that I've been playing, I'm like, why it sounds so different? But whatever. It's all good.
Oh, speaking of something, because you know, I was kind of catching it on Twitter the last few days. With the Far Cry, you know, Digital Foundries came out with that video about Far Cry 5. It's native 4K. So people was quick, boy, quick with that, hitting that send button. You were wrong. You were so wrong. It is in 4K. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, okay, look, it does not change what I'm saying about the Xbox One X. And now I'm an owner of the Xbox One X, so take it for what it's worth. But, yeah, it's native 4K, but it's still 30 frames per second. And if you watch the Digital Foundry video, they're doing medium textures. When it's compared head to head to the PlayStation 4 Pro, visually, it's not that different. So I ask again, does it matter that it's native 4K? If PS4 Pro and Xbox One X versions basically are doing the same thing, just one's checkerboarding up to 4K and one's native 4K, is there really a difference? That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying it knocking the Xbox One X. I have said from day one, it is a very impressive piece of hardware. I just don't like the marketing behind it touting true 4K gaming, because it's not. And that's all I'm saying. That's
it. I don't know. I kind of take umbrage with what you're saying, because if you take the Digital Foundry verbiage, it's displaying 2140 by 2160, so it's true 4K. So the marketing really isn't wrong. It is at true 4K. If you really want to take a stab at that, it's not like Microsoft is lying.
Oh no, they're not lying. Let me clarify this, because I can already see people are on their keyboards typing about this. When I to me, so again, yell at me all you want. That's fine. I'm a grown man. I can take it. To me, true 4K gaming is not 2160p, but medium textures, 30 frames per second. For me. And again, I'm not knocking anything on a console. It's still very impressive what it's doing on a console. I'm not knocking it. I guess because I believe I've seen what true 4K gaming is on a PC, I will always compare it to that. Again, let's take Far Cry 5 as the example. I am playing it on my 1080 Ti in native 4K at 60 frames per second, actually above 60 frames per second, and I'm on ultra settings. There is no way in hell it looks as good on an Xbox One X as it does on a PC. It just does not. But again, I paid probably double the price, almost triple the price, to be able to have that compared to an Xbox
video
One
card
X.
Is more than expensive.
You know what I'm saying? I say that because I think people hear that I'm not praising the sun when it comes to Xbox One X because of the 4K thing, and they think I'm slamming it, but I'm not. I'm not. It is the most powerful console on the planet. I've not denied that at all. All I'm saying is, in the relative term of the creation of the Xbox One X and at the price point, was it necessary to go that high with the specs when ultimately PlayStation 4 Pro does a lot of similar things? And yeah, they're doing some tricks under the hood to get there, but on your TV screen, is it that much different? That's all I'm saying. That's it. And I get first party Xbox games are going to be able to push the envelope more than third party games. So that's really to bring it all full circle. Xbox, get more exclusive games on your platform to truly take advantage of that hardware. That's all I'm trying to say.
From the Digital Foundry video, because I watched it again this morning, the one thing that surprised me the most was that the Xbox One S was actually performing worse than the original Xbox. For some reason, the Xbox One S was having a lot of jags and frame rate drops versus the original Xbox. Because the Xbox One S is supposed to be the higher performing unit. It's supposed to be the mid-tier unit before you get to the Xbox One X, or it's essentially supposed to be the replacement for the original Xbox. But the original Xbox performed better than the Xbox One X. So that caught me off guard when I saw that, because I was like, God damn it, I've got an Xbox One S here in my game room connected to my 4K TV, but now should I be playing in the living room at 1080? What is it, 1440 by 1080 in the living room, and not have the performance degradation on an older machine, which made no sense whatsoever to me.
Yeah, so, that made no sense. I don't know. That was kind of weird.
It was totally caught me off guard.
I know Paris just got his Xbox One X, but I was thinking, Paris, this was just announced. No Man's Sky is coming over to the Xbox One. So that means maybe Paris is going to buy No Man's Sky to test it out. I mean, I don't know.
Zero interest.
I really don't care about the game, but
I have zero interest. I mean, but speaking on that news, that game is a classic example of what we've kind of been talking about the past, I would even say a few months, about not rushing your game out to market and getting it right, because I bet you No Man's Sky is probably fun as hell right now, but no one's playing it because everyone moved on because of all the problems that it had. And then the developer, I'm forgetting their name right now, but they had to go underground and basically fix a lot of things. And Hello Games. And they're basically relaunching the game by having it come out on Xbox One X. And I'm sure it's going to look fantastic. And there's all these great things, but it'll be a blip on the radar when it launches. You know, it's kind of getting a little bit of buzz right now because it's going to be on Xbox, when a lot of people thought it might be almost like a PlayStation exclusive in some way. But I don't know. I just think it's too late. There's way too many other things for me to be playing right now for me to go back to that game, and the community on it's probably crickets. There's no one playing it.
Well, I know there's an update coming out for free for those that already have the game. It's supposedly the biggest update yet, and that's one that's also going to be available for the Xbox One once it releases and stuff. But Paris, I think that the people that have never played the game and they're kind of curious about it, that they only have Xbox One, I think they're going to buy it. I mean, it's not going to create a buzz like originally before the game came out. But there's going to be a good crowd of people, I think, that are going to buy it just because, oh, it's coming out on Xbox One, and they're just going to buy it, you know. But I think the majority of people that already knows about the drama and all this stuff right before the game came out, they're going to ignore it. They're just going to move on and play other things. That's what I think too. So
question, Danny, for you. I actually have a question. Are you going to pick it up? Because you've been kind of anti No Man's Scam, vaporware.
No Man's Scam?
Yeah, No Man's Scam or No Man's Vaporware. That's, you know, obviously those are the names that we called it for months or for years, actually, before it finally hit the market. Mm-hmm. Now that it's actually coming out for the Xbox, are you going to put your criticisms and bias aside and actually play it?
Nah, I really don't really care much about the game. I felt the same way even before the game came out. Like, I was just confused. Like, I don't know what was the purpose of the game. Like, I really just don't care, to tell you the truth. It could come out Xbox, Switch. I just don't care. I'm sorry. I know there's probably people that are fans of the game, but for me, it's not my type of game, man. Don't really care much about it. Are you going to try it out or no?
I mean, I've played it and I'm not impressed. So I don't have I don't know if it's enough, right? And I don't want to go in and invest more time into something that I'm not going to spend more time in, right? I'm starting to now, I now have the Far Cry 5 bug, right? And every free chance I get, I'm jumping on there. And obviously there's other games like PUBG and Rainbow Six, The Division, that are all taking up time out of my, you know, those are my big four right now. I'm not spending time on anything else other than that if I'm not watching, you know, if I'm not doing something else. So unless that next update comes out and it's gangbusters and it shows and proves a reason for me to jump off one of those other games. I have no reason to jump over and play No Man's Sky, regardless of what platform it's on.
I mean, for Hello Games, congratulations, it's coming up Xbox One, but it's just not for me, man. Not for me. All right, another game that is also coming out, and this came out during, I think, the 360 days? Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered Edition is coming to the PC and also consoles. I haven't had a chance to play this game when it came out originally, so did you guys ever had a chance to play this game back in the days? Red Faction Guerrilla.
No, I never played it.
I did.
You did?
I did. I got it. I have it. I've got... Hell, I still have... when they sent it to me, with like this, one of the rock breakers from the moon, one of the moon levels.
Nice.
My son actually still has it in his room and he pulls it out every once in a while. I loved it. It wasn't a monster hit when it first came out, but the full on destruction that you had in that game, it was basically like it was Battlefield on steroids because everything was destructible. And you know, the plot wasn't like super great, but it was passable and it was solid enough to give you an enjoyable gameplay experience, which at the end of the day is all we ever want. I enjoyed it. It'll be interesting to see. It was interesting that when THQ disbanded and was rebought by Nordic, they started feeding the PC side assets and updates, which was kind of strange considering the age of the game. And now seeing that they're giving it the 4K treatment in this remastered edition Mars, because it's set on Mars, it's interesting to see that they've given it the 4K treatment, which gives me something to think about. They did the same thing for Darksiders, I believe. They gave the remastered edition, which started to open the pathway for them to go to a new version of the game, the newest iteration of Darksiders. Does this mean that we're going to now see a new game? You know, why revisit the engine and why revisit the game? Why give it more 4K content for a game that's this old if you're not going to give us a new one, right? It's a perfect opportunity for them to start saying, hey guys, remember this game? Now that you start feeding the content, you start feeding people into the ecosystem of the game. Mm-hmm. Hey, come E3, brand new game.
It's possible.
Maybe that's my Miss Leo for E3.
I can see that. Don't remember. I can see that. People hate Miss Leo. Don't do that.
You hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, person hates Miss Leo. Yeah. But it's a great opportunity.
One listener said that, oh, please don't bring back Miss Leo.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, if we see a potential Red Faction Guerrilla, but maybe, you know, we see a Red Faction maybe based on Saturn or Jupiter, because the world is bigger. We have a much larger engine, a much bigger, better hardware that we can now load up on. You give me an open world on Mars or on Venus or on any planet other than Earth and Mars, you've got quality content opportunities right there. So
yeah,
I'm down.
You know, I like that prediction. Feed the people now the old content that maybe if people, a lot of the gamers slept on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Release this one remastered for the new consoles and also PC. And then later this year, announce the new game for 2019.
Yeah. And to go back to the No Man's Sky thing, because something just popped into my head. It took 18 months. It kind of seems like the trend now. First, you saw it with The Division. It took 18 months for the 1.8 update patch to come out and make that game viable and put it back into the repertoire of gamers. Maybe that's what this No Man's Sky Next is going to do, hopefully, for fans and amateurs alike, right? Maybe that gives it a new set of legs to survive for another 6 to 8 months, maybe 10, maybe 12, who knows? But it brings it back in. You've got a brand new subset of users that you hadn't even tapped into on Xbox. Now, hopefully, maybe that gives that more legs. So, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. Maybe this update will make the game better than ever. I mean, who knows? That's possible. Now I'm gonna review this very quick because I'm happy with it. I'm truly happy with this product. So last year, I remember I bought the Nintendo Switch, and everybody was talking about the battery life. You know, if you play certain games like Zelda, Mario Kart, and so on. So there was this Kickstarter, a project called Switch Charge, and I was like, man, let me read this. So I read it, it got my attention, put money down. That was sometime last year. You know, throughout the year, I was getting updates from the company that were working on this. And yes, I just got it a couple of days ago. I even had an unboxing video stream here on Twitch. And this is it. This is the product right here. This is Switch Charge. A lot of people have been asking me, Danny, be careful, you know, because of the whole firmware update 5.0, that's going to mess up your product. By the way, those that are getting their Switch all messed up because of the update, it's because they're using third-party docks that has HDMI that you can connect it to your TV and all that stuff. Those are one that are giving the Switch issues. But this is just battery, so you're not going to have that issue at all. Plus, the people that worked on this product, they also tested out to see if there's going to be any issues and so on. And all based on their testing, everything is fine. So this is... it's pretty cool. It has an improved kickstand because, you know, if you only play Nintendo Switch and you use your kickstand from Nintendo Switch, especially if you're on the plane, it could shake, it could drop. It's very weak. This will make the Switch stand perfectly fine. I love the battery on this. According to this box, and I've been testing it out now for like the past couple of days, this gives your Nintendo Switch 4 times of playing time, based on the battery that it has in this this device. Also, while I'm playing, I could do other things too. While I was charging my Switch, I could also charge my phone. I could charge my iPad. I could also charge my Pro Controller. You know, if I have it there standing and I connected my Pro Controller there, and I could do that at the same time. Also has, if you have physical games, you could put it in there too. There's like game slots. What else? It's a pretty good product. Let me tell you, look, it's not that heavy. It's a little bit weird at first because I'm used to just playing the Switch. But I know for those who are watching the video here, it's
stop moving
it's
your hands good. Then. Stop moving it, dude. Right. Like you're trying to show it to me, but you're like all over the place.
Yeah. But yeah, this is very comfortable. This is awesome. I'm loving this big time. You know, I've been traveling, you know, going around with my fiance driving, and I'll take my phone with me, and I charged it. Actually, we went to see Radio Player Run at the movie theater, and I had this with me, and I put it inside the bag because, you know, we're watching the movie and everything, and I put my phone there, and it was charging in the background. So I can imagine us going to E3, you know, I could use this while I'm waiting in line, going to the events, and I also have either my tablet or my phone, and it was charging in the background there, you know. So this is good. This is highly recommended for those that really want to get extra battery life, especially if you play games like Zelda, Mario Kart, those type of games, Splatoon, all that. This is highly recommended so far, man. I haven't tried out other battery from other companies and stuff, but this is truly top notch. So for more information on this product, go to switchcharge.co.uk. This is from the UK company, man. So that's switchcharge.co.uk. Highly recommended, top notch. Love this product, man. So I don't know if Pete or Paris have any other questions. We could definitely talk about this.
I'm interested in it for sure. I watched when you did the unboxing video on it, and mm-hmm. I mean, if and I know there was that concern about with the USB-C charging thing and bricking Switches, and I guess you already said that they've already tested it and that's not an issue, but mm-hmm. Looking at it, I mean, it's why not? It looks like a perfect thing, especially when you're traveling. Like my first thought was, oh, this is perfect on the plane. Prop it right up, boom, it's charging while I'm playing. It'd be great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely would check it out.
You just mentioned that bringing it on the plane. Now this is a perfect opportunity for Nintendo to hurry up and give me Netflix and offline storage.
I mean, there's Hulu. Hulu's already out. So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, Netflix would be great too.
No, I'm just saying, just because if it's, at that point, now that with the stand on it, now it's a perfect counter to having to bring your iPad
exactly
on the plane because now I can just prop that up.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I think what a couple months ago or something. We're talking about that. But dude, it's Nintendo. Netflix probably ain't coming to 2019 on that thing. But to have Netflix and to have the offline storage on the Switch, yeah, it's not as big as an iPad, but dude, it's even more portable than an iPad would be to bring on a plane, like you said, with a kickstand. It'd be perfect. I would 100% I would use it.
So, Danny, to go to the more technical aspects of the how many milliamp hours is the battery?
10,000.
Okay.
According to the box is right here. Yeah, I'm just sure right here. I don't know if you guys can see or not.
10,000.
According to the box, it says 10,000.
Okay. All right. So you figure
up to four times playing time.
Yeah. So you figure the Switch itself has what, like a 4,100 or something like that. Yes, 4,300 milliamp hours.
Yeah, and remember too, it depends what type of games you play. So let's say you play a game that an indie game, right? That probably doesn't take that much power from this Nintendo Switch. So that's there's a lot of extra hours you will get, right? But if you play like games like Mario Kart, Splatoon, Zelda, Xenoblade, especially those first party games or like Doom, you will get
2.5 to 3 hours.
3 hours, no, max 3 hours. That's like the most you would get from just without the battery. So think of this four times of that with using this in the background while it's charging.
No, you gotta think. You can't think three times or four times of that. I know it says up to 4 hours, but that's also dependent on the game. If it's 10,000 milliamp hours, and all right, so use the math. Follow me here with the math here. So the Switch itself has a 4,300 milliamp hours battery built in, and a game like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild will take 3 hours to play, right? So that's or 3 hours out of battery time out of that puppy. So you figure at 10,000 you're gonna get a minimum of 8, maybe 9,000 milliamp hours usage. That's 3 times 3, that's maybe 9 hours of gameplay on the Switch total. Well, yeah, no, you're right. So 9 hours plus the 3 you're going to get on the internal battery, you're going to probably get, you could potentially get up to close to around 12 hours, more or less, roughly, right? Because we don't, you know, it's you're an average guesstimate here. So you're bringing maybe about 12 hours of gameplay of Legend of Zelda on the Switch, nonstop from beginning to end.
I'm fine with that. I'm truly fine with that. Because when we travel to the West Coast, that's a good 5 plus maybe 6 hours, right? From where we're at. I'm good with that, you know, so that's good. It's good. I'm going to start using this a lot more to test it out. I'll give you guys updates and so on. But as of right now, this is a great device. So I highly recommend it. Paris P, I'll probably give you guys a code. You guys want to use it and you'll get a discount if you want to test it out and buy it maybe, or your Nintendo Switch. I'll definitely will do that and stuff. Yeah. Anything else about this product? You good? Guys are good?
Yeah, good.
All right. I'm good to go.
Cool. All right. So I think we should wrap it up because I know Pete, he already added the League of Legends content and so on. So we probably will save fan mail for another day. And so let me just save the emails and stuff. All right. So once again, go to gamertagradio.com or you can find us on audioboom.com. Make sure to go there. Paris was telling me the other day he loved the website. He used that on his phone and also tablet. It's very smooth. You could try out, listen to any episodes, and it's very mobile friendly. So make sure to go there and search for Gamertag Radio or download the app, audioboom.com. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to download it. Let us know. Share the content with your friends. It'll help us out. And if you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts, post a review. It will help us out big time. It will help us climb top of the charts once you post a review and you also subscribe through there. Anything else, guys, you want to say before we wrap it up?
Nope. I'm good to go.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.